In this latest episode of the TWBC podcast, we talk to a former World Women's Slalom champion who has been largely absent over this season. We talk to Manon Kastar next.
The expressed views of the guests on this podcast are theirs alone and not necessarily endorsed by the host, TWBC, or any associated sponsor. Conversations that are robust yet balanced, on point and to the point. You are listening to The Talk of Tournament Water Skiing. This is the TWBC podcast. And now, here's your host, Tony Lightfoot.
Well, greetings, one and all, everyone here that's listening to this podcast, the TWBC podcast. My name is Tony Lightfoot, and I'm glad to have you on board once again. Now, whenever I started to look at the list of skiers for the Open European Water Ski Championships, which is hours away from taking place here in Rochetta, where this podcast is emanating from, I couldn't really help but express a sense of relief because one of my favorite female slalom skiers was on that list, and she is here right now in this episode of the TWBC podcast. Her name is Manon Kastar. How are you doing?
Hi, I'm good. Thank you for having me.
Well, very good, very good. And yes, and I mean, I was relieved that you've actually made it onto the list. You're getting ready to ski. And you seem to have a much more calmer demeanor, and you know you're approaching this tournament with less stress and more, I don't know, to in the lack of a better expression, a little bit more fun, you know.
Yeah, I'm trying to. That's the goal. I don't know if it's gonna really be happening that way. It's gonna be a good test, but that's I've been working on trying to enjoy what I'm doing and remember why I'm doing it. So I've done this with skiing for myself, and this weekend is the first tournament in a while. So I'll try and implement what I've been trying to get to for this tournament. We'll see how it goes.
Now, I keep a fairly close eye to what's being said out there in the skiing world, you know with posts and what have you, Facebook and Lord knows what else, and Bowler Spray, and a lot of those messages that come through either during the webcast, you know, on the comments and what have you, a lot of them are like are saying, "Where's Manon?" I mean, to say that you've been largely absent from this season is probably understating it a little bit there, but you know, you're on the list to ski at Swiss Pro. You didn't ski in that competition, and this is your first tournament back for what is it? May, June, July, August, September. You know, almost half a year. So what kind of prompted you to say, you know, I can do without this, you know, for the Swiss Pro and then for the remainder of the season?
Yeah, well, so I actually went to Masters.
You went to Masters, but you didn't go to the Swiss.
Yeah, I didn't go to the Swiss. It's been a long process. It's been a lot of things in my mind, so it hasn't been a very, you know, direct decision, and it was definitely not made in one day, and it's hard to even say that it was really a decision. It's been like over months and months of little tiny decisions that led to me not really going to the tournaments this season, and it was mainly because I lost the fun in what I was doing. I didn't feel like doing it. I didn't feel good. I would go and try and push myself to train, and it felt wrong. It didn't feel like something very healthy. So from that little, you know, like I started realizing that little by little, and I started asking myself the questions as to, you know, why are you doing this? Why, you know, is it really worth keeping on going if really you're not enjoying it, and if you're feeling like it is my job, but it felt like it was a bit unhealthy, that my expectations hadn't gotten so high that, you know, the only thing I could get out of it was being satisfied and not really like excited about what I did. And so I don't want to feel that way about skiing. I love this sport. I love the sensation I have when I'm on the water. I love working on my technique, trying to be more efficient, trying to, you know, feel like running a pass is easy, and you know, like I want to I wanted to find that again and not get stuck into the, well, I must do all the tournaments that there is, pro tournaments. I must train really, really hard, because if I go to a tournament, I must be on the podium. And if I'm not on the podium, I'm very, you know, upset about it and not happy. And really what I want is the first place, which is unrealistic, right? Like, you have to find happiness in little achievements. You can't just expect to win or have a really, really good outcome of every tournament. So it started like that. And then there was many aspects of it, many, you know, reasons.
We'll try and drill into those in a little bit, but as you're going through that response, it kind of reminds me a little bit about a tennis player in the late 70s, early part of the 80s, named Tracy Austin. I don't know whether you followed her a little portions of her career, but I mean, she was like the rising star in U.S. women's tennis, and then after like two major successes, She was just gone right there, you know. I mean, one time U.S. Open women's tennis champion, and then the next she's gone. I mean, she's like burnt out a little bit. And you can maybe even draw parallels between that and Naomi Osaka. You know, I mean, she enjoyed success very early on, but again, she's starting to struggle, and she's been quite vocal in terms of her headspace and how she approaches sport from a mental aspect. Would you yourself kind of draw comparisons between her and maybe yourself? It's probably a little extreme, but you got to be right upstairs before everything else below it, you know, can function, right?
Yeah, for sure. It's hard to say if I can, you know, like, everyone's experience is very personal and very different from one another, so I don't know if I can relate exactly to their stories, but for me it's been it's been a need to step away a little bit to feel good about it and not get completely burnt out to the point that I never want to ski again, right? Like, I think I'm happy that I realized it early enough, so that I took a few months and a few steps back and worked on enjoying skiing again, which is why I'm doing it in the first place. You know, it's the most important, I think, in our sport. And definitely, if you don't have the right balance in your head, and if you're not really, or in your life, sorry, and if you're not happy to be going to train most of the time, then there is no point in competing and trying to reach the highest level, because I don't think at least it's not the most efficient way to do it. I think you need the fun in it and the true belief that you're doing it for you, and that it's a positive thing.
I think it's important to actually emphasize that you didn't take a complete break from skiing. You just took a break from the actual competitive aspects of skiing, right?
Yeah, no, I did a bit of both, to be honest. I slowed down a lot because how it started was, okay, I don't feel like skiing. I haven't had fun for a little bit. Let's try and take it a little bit easier on the training, and let's maybe wait until I really want to be skiing. And so for a few months, I waited to have that, you know, that will to ski, I guess, and to will to go on the water, and didn't come too much. And then the tournaments came up, and Swiss, you know, I had registered and all of that. And it came up, and I still didn't want to be on the water. And when I was, I could have really good sets and it was fine, but I wasn't enjoying it. And so, I tried to do both. I started by not training as much and it didn't work. So I was like, okay, well, I'm going to just not go to those tournaments and try and figure it out. And this summer, I skied a lot less. You know, I actually didn't ski for a few months, and I lived on a lake. When I'm in France, I'm in Lacanau, and I live on a big public lake. And
not the Stade Pitreau, but the big lake
right next to it. But the big lake, yeah. And having decided I wasn't gonna train, I was just at my house seeing a lake, and whenever it was flat, I started feeling that really, like, you know, I needed to go and ski, and it was a nice feeling to feel like I needed to go and ski, because I really wanted to.
Yeah.
And so that was fun. And that's how I started getting back on the water. And I started skiing only for fun with either my sister or my mom driving. They've never driven slalom before, so I knew I had zero expectations. It was just for the fun, purely fun. We had we would wake up early, had breakfast on the dock, you go and you ski and you're with friends, and it's a complete different mood, and that really helped. And so for the past few months, I've you know, gone back to the basics really, and just really enjoyed skiing for what it is, and it has nothing to do with a competition, with beating anyone, with it's just fun. I love doing that sport, you know.
Oh, absolutely. I can definitely gel with that, you know, changing your environment a little bit, because I mean, for the vast majority of the season when you were competing, I mean, you basically based yourself in the United States, and you know, aside from maybe the week or so before the Masters, you basically put the United States on the back burner and like basically confined yourself to your space in Lacanau in France, you know. So that change of environment certainly seems important to you and to get back in. But you know, if you'd have stayed in the United States, do you reckon you would have taken pretty much the same approach, or just a complete break from skiing on that side of the Atlantic was the kind of like the tonic or the catalyst for you going forward?
Well, it's hard because everything is linked, right? And I've built my life slowly and without really noticing how much I did it, but slowly just my life was built around skiing. So everything that I was doing little by little was for skiing, and was so going to the US is for skiing, and yeah, it's for training, and it's for being able to go to those tournaments, you know, that are more and more based in Florida, that are more and more, you know, sometimes based in the US, and you can train all year round. It's great for the weather and all that. So I did all of this, and it's an effort that I do for my training and for my career in skiing, but it's a different culture. So so you end up, you know, with COVID, for example, I couldn't go home for a year, and I missed it. And it's more actually the year after when I came back to France that I was super worried.
You didn't realize how much you missed it. Yeah.
And I was like, well, I never want to live again. You know, like I had anxiety because I thought, well, man, I'm gonna be here for a month, and in that month and a half, I have, I don't know, 3-4 tournaments, and I'm not gonna spend enough time here. And so I started getting pretty stressed with that. Same with this summer. I mean, I'm so disappointed that I wasn't there for and didn't support in the usual way the tournaments that were happening in Europe, but we had 5 weekends in a row of tournaments in places that are super cool, great clubs, and that's great. That's so good for sport, so good to see, and I really wanted to support that. But at the same time, I was not in a state where I could do that. I had been stressing about it for a year, and I knew it was coming, and it was a weird feeling because I've never really had that, but. Yeah, it was unpositive, right? Like I wasn't in a positive state with skiing and with being able to do as many efforts as I had been doing for years, which I'm 100% happy that I did those efforts and I did those things for skiing, but you know, I'm also really happy with my decision, even though it was really really hard to take a few steps back and to look at things in a different way, and I'm trying to have a different balance and to build back on a good base that is healthy for me, for the life that I want now, and for my skiing and for my performances and all of that. So it's gonna be the work that I started and that I'm gonna continue.
Indeed. And I mean, last week I had opportunity to talk a little bit with someone who you know quite well, Freddie Winter, and he He told me one or two things, certainly about your skiing and about certain scenarios. I mean, you've achieved dizzy heights in skiing. I mean, there aren't that many skiers that can claim to have won the world title in women's slalom and set European records and all that kind of stuff and won the tournaments that you did. But the one thing that he mentioned to me was the Malibu Open last season, where it was a historical moment between four skiers, Whitney McClintock, Regina Jaquist, Jamie Bull, and yourself, and you'd all gotten into 39 and a half off. You'd all gotten 41 off?
Into 41 off.
Into 10.25 meters. Now, to be a part of that history, I mean, between the four of you, I mean, pretty much all of those skiers who I've mentioned, you know, were extremely happy to be involved in that. But from what my good friend told me, you came away from the event not feeling particularly happy, but a little sad that you finished in fourth, but still being a part of that historical moment. You know, I don't know whether that was the catalyst for what came afterwards, but you know, how did you honestly feel after that? And given the amount of time that has passed, have you had enough time to reflect upon the history that you had created and maybe have a different perspective of it now?
Well, you think I think I always knew that it was a very important moment to be part of, and it was history, and it was really, really great. It's a really good thing, and I'm very happy I was part of that. What I started realizing at that point was that I felt like, you know, on the moment I felt super disappointed because it's hard. You try and make it work. You try and have the perfect, you know, performance at the right time, and it felt like, you know, last year a lot of times in the finals it wasn't going as well as it had been before, or you know, like I felt like I had always little things, which is normal. It's the sport. It's what it is. But I felt disappointed, and I felt like I was doing way too much efforts for very little return, and for feeling, you know, after every weekend, if I'm not gonna feel happy with what I'm doing, then why am I shaping my life around this? You know, why am I living away from my family? Why am I, you know, like there's so many things that I felt like I was doing that I felt like I should at least feel happy in a moment like that, for example. So realizing that I wasn't, and that in quite the opposite, I was just really upset with it because I felt like, well, okay, it's great, but I have the record of the person that came fourth with the highest score. It's not that fun, you know? So yeah, it started there, and it started little by little, just seeing that I felt like I was doing too much for not enough self-satisfaction or self, you know, like happiness and all that in return. So so yeah, the question started that way. Yeah.
Okay. So I mean you're here now in Rochetto. I mean, this is you've skied here before a number of times, haven't you? I mean, at least three, possibly four times before in European Championships and other tournaments, isn't that correct?
Yeah, I only did one Europeans here.
You've actually only done one Europeans,
yeah, so
here,
it's the second one, and then I did a few tournaments when I was little here. But yeah, I haven't been here in 10 years actually.
Oh, you haven't been here in about 10 years.
Yeah.
That was probably the European Championships that I was actually involved with at that time, and I think, did you win that European Championship?
No, I didn't. I was still doing overall. I did my PB in jump over here.
But oh, nice.
Yeah. But yeah, no, I didn't win here.
Okay, so you have a chance to win at a venue that you haven't won on yet, you know. Mm. I mean, there's that aspect going into it, but tying into what you've just said, what are your kind of expectations going forward? You know, is it going to be kind of like one tournament at a time, or are you just going to ski the Europeans and then assess and then decide whether you want to do the remaining tournaments of the season if you kind of feel up to it, you know?
Yeah, it's a good test this weekend. I've really happy with how it went this summer because I pretty easily actually I started having fun skiing again and I'm very happy with the non competition environment of it. You know, like I'm mm-hmm. I think that's sort of at least fixed for now. Tournaments, it's going to be really hard because I'm trying to do it for fun, but I'm a competitor. I don't want to have, you know.
You can't shake what's inside.
Yeah. So I haven't put every chance on my side to ski really well mm-hmm. here and to have every opportunity to win or do a good result. But at the same time, that's exactly what I'm trying to do. Do less to, you know, like find my balance. So it's it's going to be a balance of how much I want to train, how many chances I want to put on my side when, you know, to be able to perform at tournaments but at the same time making room for other things in my life and having being happier with the activities that I'm doing with the, you know, where I am and all of that. So for now, I think it's a bit early. I think it's, you know, I'm here and it's going to be a good test, but it's a long process, I think.
So I mean, you're not prepared to say even at this time whether you'll decide to take that intrepid flight over to the United States and maybe do at least one or two of the tournaments that remain in the season. You know, give the likes of Regina and Whitney and Jamie a little run for their money again, huh?
Yeah, it's a day by day. Right now, I don't know, and the goal is definitely to come back and to go to those tournaments because I like doing them and it's been fun and it's, you know, I'm not quitting the sport. I'm just gonna do it differently, and so I'm gonna figure out, you know, what I can do and what I can't be between, you know, like, yeah, I'm gonna see. I'm gonna see how this weekend goes. I'm gonna see how I feel about it. I can't tell you.
You definitely look happier. You seem to exude a more optimistic demeanor coming in, and it's and obviously whatever you've done during the summer appears to be working. I mean, I saw you practice not too long ago, and I mean it looked pretty good. So you haven't lost any of your skills out there on the water with slaloming. But I mean, in the times where you were away from the on-water activity or that kind of stuff, I mean, what were you doing activity-wise? I mean, were you like, I don't know, I mean, knowing Laka now, I mean, were you surfing? Did you do horseback riding or anything like that? I mean, what does Manon Costard do when she isn't skiing on top of the water?
Yeah, for the summer, I'm studying again, so I'm busy with that.
Studying?
Yeah.
Okay, what subject?
Web development.
Oh, okay.
I'm studying programming, and so I'm learning my little codes on my computer, so that took a bunch of time. But then, you know, I started running again. I did some, you know, a bunch of different sports. Like, I went windsurfing, and it was really fun. I did some sailing with my family. We did a bunch of things, and I'll keep on. You know, I want to try and, for example, maybe run a semi marathon and see how it goes. And maybe, you know, I want to this winter. I want to snow ski a lot more because I've been missing it, and I've not been mm-hmm. able to do it because I was so much in Florida too. So, all of these little things, I'm gonna find the time to.
So we'll find you on the slopes of the Val d'Isère, huh?
Yes. But, you know, at the same time, I want to do all these things, but ski, you know, water ski as well. I want to balance. I don't want to quit everything for those other things. I want to make sure that I set myself up in the best way to be able to do all these little things.
Indeed. You know, I mean, I mean, skiers all around the world. I mean, you're no different to everybody else. You know, they're trying to find that on water balance. Their lives at work in a lot of cases. You know, and whatever they do on off the water type deal. So I certainly appreciate where you're coming from. Is there anything that you kind of wish you had the opportunity to do that kind of the water skiing has, you know, precluded you from doing? I mean obviously you ran through a few activities, but is there something on the proverbial bucket list that what you want to do? As a matter of fact, let's do this, okay? Let's see if we can create like 5 items in a bucket list of things you want to do before that fateful day, okay? So what is it that Manon Costard would like to do before, you know?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, honestly, skiing...
Let's start with number one.
Yeah, well, you know, part of my bucket list was all of my goals in skiing. And it's been really good, and I'm super happy that I worked towards them, and I still have some in there, and so I'll keep on working towards those goals, and that's a big thing in someone's life, to find something that you're so passionate about that you're gonna work really hard at, and that you're gonna, you know, come to the point where you shape your life around it. I'm happy I did it, and I'll keep, you know, doing that, and that's a. I feel lucky that I can do something like that, you know, that I had that in my life. And then apart from that, you know, there is, I don't know, I can't tell you exactly, you know, like a list of things that I want to do. I just honestly want to find a balance in my life where I can have this passion, you know, that I have for skiing and push myself in that sport and to try and reach the, you know, or keep the level or improve that, you know, in that sport and in my performances in there, and have also a bit of a regular life, you know, aside from it, doing other sports, having a job, you know, that I couldn't have in the US because I don't have a green card, so I can't really work from there. You know, like I want to have a normal life,
okay,
with my ski life. That's my big bucket list.
Is that something you desire to have, like a green card or at least a permanent legal residency?
No, at the end of the day, I don't know if I'm allowed to say that online on record and stuff, but I love my country. I love France. I love Europe. I don't see myself moving to the US for good. It's not where I want to be, and that's also a part of why, you know, I'm in France right now.
Uh huh.
So no, I don't necessarily want a green card. I want to be able to ski, and it doesn't mean, and I don't think skiing should be, you know,
the end
only,
all and be all.
Only in the US, right? Like, yeah. You can do it from Europe. We have amazing places. I'm super lucky to be in Lacano and to have, you know, like, at the same time, a super nice public lake, but also an amazing ski school with amazing boats, amazing drivers, amazing coaches. You know, it's a great environment. So, yeah, I'm lucky to have that, and I don't need the green card to find my balance and to be able to have the life I want to have.
And you mentioned your coaches, Gerardine and Christophe, you know, mm-hmm. and Jean-Michel and the folks over there at Stade Pietro. You know, I mean, there must be... extremely important to you moving forward to as you try and strike that balance and kind of enjoy yourself again.
Yeah, for sure. It's, you know, and I'm lucky. Yeah, I'm not saying that in the US I didn't enjoy, you know, skiing either, and I skied, you know, at the boarding school and with Ronnie and it's been, you know, it was great too. But yeah, I'm super thankful that I have different places to go to, and that I have Lacano, and that it feels like my home, and it feels like they're really, really good friends, important people to me, and yeah, it's good to have these options. You know, it's not like I'm lost. I have plenty of places that I can go to, and it's very lucky for me.
All right, so we'll try and round off the podcast a little bit here. Thanks a lot to Manon, and thank you especially for taking the time out to participate in this podcast. I mean, I'm trying to think of one or two questions to kind of round off with, but I mean, insofar as this European Championships is concerned, I mean, ordinarily in the past, you're probably focusing upon the win, and if not the win, the highest score. Obviously, things have changed a little bit in your outlook and your attitude towards the sport. So would it be fair to say that, you know, whether you get 2 at 39 or 2 at 41 or even 2 at 38, you would still leave the water in the same way in each instance, or is that fire still in there to go higher?
There's no way I can live. I can live in the same way, no matter what score I get. No, I'm still completely. I want to run as many buoys as I can, and I wanna do well. So that's why it's gonna be hard this weekend, because the last thing I want is being disappointed and not having fun on the water. That's my goal right now, and I want to get back to that. It's, you don't get back to that point in no time, right? Like, so it's gonna be weird, but it's okay. It's fine. I have to go through that, I just need to manage, which I've done my whole career. You manage, you know, the good sets and the bad sets. I'm not at the stage where I don't care how I ski. It's not that. It's just I want to enjoy the process to the tournament. I know the tournament is always going to have, at some point, I'm going to be disappointed or I'm going to be very happy. But I want to enjoy the training and everything I do apart from it. And that's the big goal. So this weekend, I'm not going to say that if I come dead last, I'm going to have a good time. No, I'm not going to have a good time. But I'll be much happier with the rest that I've done leading to the tournament if I had a good time, you know, training for it. And if I had a good time, you know, on the water apart from at the tournament.
Okay, one final question. How understanding have your sponsors and supporters been in this period? I mean Connolly, you ride the Connolly DV8, and you have others who have supported you over the years. I mean when you've taken this amount of time away from the sport, a lot of entities like that would probably question your commitment and that kind of stuff. But how understanding have they been in this process?
Very understanding. They have left me my space. You know, they haven't been pushing and asking what's going on and all of that. And so that, I'm very thankful for that too, because it's important. It was a big part of the stress too. When you decide not to go to tournament, I felt like I was letting the organizers down, and also, you know, like not really fulfilling my obligations. But they've been very understanding, and yeah, it's good.
All right, so we'll devote the remaining portion of this podcast as an opportunity for you to thank said sponsors and also those that have helped you along within the last few months, I would say.
Yeah, well, there's a lot of people that have helped me. Obviously, the sponsors, you know, like Conley and Aid have been very, very important to me, and they've, you know, it's been fun working with them and representing their brands, and you know. Lately, we've been working on skis with Conley, and it's been very interesting. I've learned a lot of things, and you know, it's been fun, and so that was a great experience. And then, obviously, you know, the people around me, like, that support me whether it's for training, whether it's for just me and my life, and all of them, I think, know who they are, and I don't need to make a list, but it's a list of very, very important people that I'm very, very thankful for.
All right, representing the French team here at the European Open Water Ski Championships, that was Manon Costard. We thank her very much, and this has been the latest edition of the TWBC podcast. And until next time, it is ciao for now.
Thank you for listening to the TWBC podcast. Be sure to check out our website at waterskibroadcasting.com. Links to our presence on major social media platforms can be found there, as well as updates to our webcast and this podcast. Duplication or rebroadcasting of this broadcast without written consent of TWBC is prohibited. Subscribe to us on your favorite podcast platform, and be sure to join us next time for the next edition of the TWBC podcast.